great to come together and just praise and worship God. Amen.
Amen.
Trust you've all had a good week. It's been a very indifferent weather, different week weather-wise. The sun's been out some days, and some days it's raining. But that's God's promise, isn't it? That He would bring rain upon this earth and bless us so much. I don't know whether you know, it's a great pile of dirt in the car park there, but we've also laid timber, the stumps are down, and we've started building the new kids' zone building. So that's really good to be able to get that started this week, and from here on in, we just trust it'll be... you'll see something new every week. Each week you come, there'll be something new done, and it won't be a drawn-out process. And we'll get it completed by the Christmas anyway. But praise God, it's always good to be able to come together, hear God's word, but most of all to speak God's word. And that's got what God wants to do with each one of us. Amen. God wants to use us, wants to speak the word, wants us to speak the word, share His word to where to whoever we meet and to wherever we go. And so it's good to be able to that. But this morning I want to speak from out the book of Isaiah and chapter 43 and verses 18 and 19 there. But it's... what God speaks about there is bringing change. We want to see change, don't we? We want to be a change people ourselves and see things there. But today we have heard that something new is about to happen in the life of Grow Church. Today another chapter will be added to the life and history of Grow Church. And today we are launching an outreach of Grow Church being Diggers Rest Campus. And today I just trust that everyone here today is believing that the Diggers Rest Campus will become a thriving church, that is being founded and sown into good soil, and it will produce fruit for the kingdom of our Lord. Amen. I want you to have that in your hearts, and if it's not already there, birth it in today. That let God sow a seed into your spirit that, you know, hey, this is good thing. Something good has happened and something's going to there. But today I just want to remind ourselves that God, our God, is an agent of change. Amen? And... just looking in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. And this is what God said. He's speaking here to the Israel. Chapter 43 speaks about God being a saviour of Israel. And it's just a tremendous chapter. Read it sometime during the week, and I'm sure you'll be encouraged that what a mighty God we serve, what a mighty God we have. And God is true to His promise. And He says here with these words, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." And there again, a powerful promise to God that He is about to do something new. And I'm sure that's God's heart. It is God's heart. He tells that He wants to do something new within us. Change our lives in a wonderful way, that we will be the people of God that God wants us to be. And that's what He says here, that he will bring about a change, not only in the physical, but in our lives. And that's where it's got to happen, isn't it? We have to make a change. If we're going to be effective, it has to take a place within our own hearts and there. And as I said, I just want to remind ourselves today that God is an agent of change. He wants to do a new thing. He wants to bring new things in our life. And God always, always wants to do something new and in our lives. And if you've been in a dry place here, if you're feeling a bit low and discouraged, take heart that God wants to do something new to bring about a change in your life, about a change in my life. And to do, you know, just bring a refreshing into our hearts and our spirit, because what we see in this present world, you know, we're perplexed. Often we get confused with so many things, so much happening in our world today, and we sometimes just not able to make the right decision, are we? We ponder about things. We procrastinate about things. We're not quite sure what to do. But it's all about letting God change your heart. It's all about us looking to God and just to really look to him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do today? And for that. But as I said, you know, we just have to make that change. But what we need to do, we need to allow God to direct and guide our lives, don't we? We just need to let God have his way with our hearts and spirits and take control. And we just need to let God take control and to give him the freedom to work within us. But when that happens, you know, this word here, God's word tells us, it assures us that we will hear the voice, you know, that we still voice, that comes within us. And what I tend to, what I believe, and what God is saying to us, God says, you know the way, walk ye in it. And I'm sure that's a quote from Isaiah 30, chapter 30, verse 31. This is the way, walk ye in it. Another translation might say, you know the way, walk ye in it. You have heard the way, walk ye in it. And that's what God wants. He wants to follow him, be guided by him, and keep looking to him. And as it says there, this is the way, walk ye in it. And Psalm 32, verse 8 says, this is God again. When God gives us a word, when God said, this is the way you walk in it, he also gives us a scripture that will help us walk in that way. And this is what he says in Psalm 32, verse 8. He says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. That's a tremendous encouragement there that, you know, God gives us an instructions about walking in the way and that. But he also says, I will guide you along the best pathway. Thank you, Matthew. So we've been given that promise there about that God always wants to give us the best. He wants, as we said earlier there, that God wants to bring change in our life. And this is how God says he will do it. He says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. And again in Isaiah 43:19, I'll read that scripture there. He says, I am going to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? And there was so much that happens in our own lives. So much happens around us, you know, that often we take so much for granted. And, you know, we just don't appreciate or even see at times. Many times we just fail to see that God is at work in our life, that God is always up to something good, that God is always bringing change. There's things happening all around us every day that we just don't appreciate so much. And God wants to do that. He wants to do something new. He says, see, I have already begun. And he says, do you not see it? God wants you to see it. God wants to wants you to appreciate what he's doing in our lives. And he goes on to say, oh, make a pathway through the wilderness. God will make a way for us. He just won't let us struggle and walk through the tangled vines and the messes that come into our lives and the things that get in our way. Because when we trust God and we believe on in his promises, he says, I will make a way. I will open doors. God has opened the doors for us to go in at digger's rest, and such a powerful answer to prayer. And, of faithfulness of people just reaching out to God and changing hearts. And God can do that. We often see just something comes up and we just see that as a mountain, don't we? And we see it as an impossibility. But God is what? God is a God of possibilities, amen? And he will make a way. And he goes on to say, but there that... do you not see it? But all these things are happening all the time, aren't they? And God just wants us to see what he's doing in our midst. But to fulfill that promise in Isaiah, he has to bring about changes. When God does a new thing, that means that there are changes about to happen. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift from God. Amen? Today is today. Look at today. Yesterday it was cold day, rainy day, overclouded day, but today the sun is shining. Amen? And that's how things change and the weather-wise. But God wants to do the same thing in our life. He wants the sun to shine upon you. He wants to bring brightness into your life. He wants to fill and take away the things that cloud up the issues in the life and to do a new thing. Yesterday is gone. We can't do nothing about that. But today we can do something. We can do something that will affect tomorrow. Today we'll take change on board, and today we will say, yes, I will look to you, Lord. I will depend upon you. I will do what you want me to do, Lord. I will cry out to you, Lord, and I'll hear, and I will see what you're doing in our midst. But so today is a gift from God, isn't it? Today, treasure this day while you've got it. We just don't know what tomorrow will bring, do we? And things change so quick. And so that's why we call it the present. Today is the present. The Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will what? Rejoice and what? Be glad in it. Rejoice and be glad in it. And that's all God asks for us for this day, that we will see that this is a day that God has given us, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And because God just didn't give us this day on earth to worry and be anxious about, what is going to happen, what's going to happen to tomorrow. He gave it to us to rejoice and to be glad and to be productive in whatever way we can and do, because each day is a gift from God. Each day is a gift, isn't it? And we just need to appreciate that more. And I can assure you, as we become older, every day is a great day. And we know as the years go by and we start to look at towards the end of life, where you learn to appreciate things so much more, and you just look back on things that, maybe you could have done better, and things you often think, oh, I wish I was born in that era. But no, that was the time I was born, and this is the time that God's given me. And he knows the time when it'll be time for him to take me home. But But so this is why it's so important. We appreciate today. We appreciate tomorrow and the days ahead for this time that God has given us and to be effective for him and his kingdom. Because as we heard so many times, God's promise is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? And God just pours out his grace to anyone, to all who will trust him. And we know it's something we don't have to earn, because all we need to have God, if we want God's grace to be upon our life, well, we need to be in relationship with him. Just to call out to him, call upon his name, and receive what God's giving wants to bless us with. But it's that relationship. And so, you know, we often look at God's grace and you think, well, how do we experience God's grace? When does that come into our life? When does that touch us? And I just feel, you know, God's grace comes in our times of weakness, in our times of times of inabilities, where we just think, well, you know, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, all that, excuse me, that sort of thing. In times of sin, when we just don't come up to the mark and things muck up. In times in our failure, but what we do, we choose to believe that his love and ability to change us as we rest in him, as we look to him. And as we look to God, we know we will grow. Amen? We will grow. We will grow in love. We'll grow in grace. We'll grow in all the fruits of the Spirit that God wants to use in our everyday life as we reach out there into a community that doesn't know Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul, Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, he says, we grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happens when we turn our lives over to Christ, when we make that change, when we look upon a change in our lives to bring about a goodness there. And in Romans 12:2 there, the Paul here, he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to the world. What a crazy week it seems, or last couple of weeks, this Pokemon craze. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Just unbelievable. And I was out working in the garden last weekend, and these kids come along the street, and there, they're doing this, they're doing that, and they went down there and they're standing there, and all of a sudden they turned around and come back and went up the street and playing with their whatever it is, and they're back down to where they started. So I don't know what happened, but it's a craze, a phenomenon that's taken upon the world at the moment, and it's just another distraction. That, you know, a tool that the enemy will use or is using to get people, you know, what they should be looking for, and that's Jesus Christ. And so we just pray, I trust none of you are getting into that. Try and spare yourselves the agony. I don't know what reward you get for it. I don't know nothing about it, other than a lot of people are just looking at something that, you know, at the end result, won't fulfill their need. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. So people need God in their life, amen? So just make that a part of your prayer that, you know, when these phenomenons come, that, you know, they'll avail to nothing, but God is the answer. And that's what we need the world to see. So don't let us be transformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let God make a change, amen? Let God make a change. Be transformed and let our lives be living for God. And as we know, that when Jesus started his earthly ministries, one of the first words he quoted from Matthew 4:17, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Jesus brought that message then, and that message is still relevant for a world out there today that doesn't know Jesus. And to, as we know, repent means to change and turn around. We have to make a complete turnaround, to put off the old man and the ways of the flesh, that God take control and make that change and become a new man, a new person, and have the character of God in your life. And it means to change the way we think, to change the things you say, and the way you, and change the way you act, or the way I act. Because often, you know, we do have to change, because we get into things and take on habits and sayings of other people or things, and they're just not God-like, are they? So we just have to do that. Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that is nothing less than God's will being done here on earth just as it is in heaven. And so just like to say too, you know, that we as individuals, we as people, you know, we can't bring the world to our country, to this nation, or even our city, or to our neighbourhood, or even our family and friends to do the will of God. We can't do that, but we can begin to do God's will ourselves. Amen. We can do God's will ourselves, and as we do that, as we make change and look to God, we can influence people. We can be the type of people that people will look to for the example that we lead. And as we know, God wants to bring change, and to bring change, you know, there has to be repentance. For someone coming to know Jesus, they have to put that behind them and repent and confess that they're sorry for their sins, and to detest anything that is not of God, to reject that, to make a total change, a complete turnaround, and to come and to know God in a wonderful way. And Noel also spoke about this morning. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, to take up the cross and to follow me." And that's the message of Jesus Christ himself. He says, deny yourself. Don't indulge in the things of the earthly desires, putting away our thoughts, our wants, our needs, just to follow Jesus. And that's a tremendous encouragement for us all. But I feel there that Jesus addressed the deepest need that any person will ever have, and that is precisely why Jesus came to give us an earthly life, an abundant life, a life that will be worthwhile, a life that will be fulfilling, a life that can be used for the glory of God. And as the scripture says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save which was lost." And as I also said, that's the greatest need that any person could ever have. And for that need to be fulfilled, for salvation to come, there has to be change. There has to be a turnaround. There has to be a repentance. And as we know that Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sin, for our badness. We were guilty, and he paid for his guilt. And as we know, when we confess our sins, we are taking care of what is wrong and what the cross has already paid for. So again, we just need to have that heartfelt change there to turn our lives around. And I feel or believe being a man or woman of God is a matter of being humble. Humble. Jesus was humble. He came to this earth in a humble way. We know the story well. But for us to be men and women of God, we need to be humble and caring and loving and reaching to others. A person by the name of John Powell, I read this quote during the week. He said, "We think we have to change, grow and be good in order to be loved. But rather," he says, "we are loved and we receive his grace so we can change, grow and be good." So that's quite interesting, that, but I also feel that, you know, the only limit to healing in our lives is the degree to which we don't reveal ourselves. To grow, we must hold a commitment to what is true, and that's having a faith that there is a God, and his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, died for our sakes and to give us an abundant life. But just to continue on a bit, God's grace gives us freedom, amen? We are free in that. Freedom to face God and to face the truth about us in the light of God's word, knowing we are fully loved and accepted by him. And that's a place where many, many people just can't come to that place and to understand that in Christ, in God, we are free. And when we are free in Christ, we are free indeed. And love, we are fully loved, and we are accepted by God no matter what. God doesn't put conditions on us. All God wants is to come to know him, to believe in his word, and to look to him that he is an everlasting God. And he calls us to come to him with everything. That means we come to God and we just empty everything out so we can be vessels that will be used. We come to him so that he can help us experience. Is this going, Mike? Going? So we come to God with everything so that he can help us experience that freedom. We quoted scripture early on this morning that he said he will help us experience that freedom. Verse 32, you'll know the truth and the truth will what? Set you free. And we just have to believe that. It's a part of all that acceptance and knowing of the God, that as we know the truth know the way, the truth and the life, that God is true to his word. And he is still the only means of forgiveness of our sins and the only assurance of spending eternity in heaven. God is still seated on the throne. Amen. God is still seated on the throne, and he is there. Jesus is still seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he's there making intercession for us. Jesus is already there doing a work for us, pleading on our behalf to preparing a heavenly place, a heavenly home for each one of us, all God's children. He's pleading for us. As Malachi says, again, remind us, for I, the Lord, do not change. That's God's promise, that he is there. God is the same God as he has always been, and he always will be. Amen? God, in being the same, means that he is immutable. He's unchangeable, and he never changes. And God is the only person or thing that is not subject to change. His nature never changes. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And by yesterday is meant all time past.
He's still the same by today, the time present, and forever. That is all that is future, from the present to eternity. Christ is unchangeable. Amen? Amen. So, just coming to a close, that, excuse me, that Christ is the only mediator between God and man, and which he will always be. And that's a lot of people in the world today just can't grasp hold of that. That the only way to come to God is through the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's a hard thing to do, to convince people. But, it's our witness and a surety of the Scriptures that, we have to say, as we just said, that Jesus Christ is the way, that Jesus Christ is the truth, and he is the life forevermore. He is an everlasting Saviour. And it says in Hebrews 8:12, about the Son of Man, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A sceptre of justice will be the sceptre of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. And he also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. Amen. So today I just trust that from what we've heard and shared this morning, that you will allow God to make a change in your life, that you will have it in your own hearts and the spirit and say, yes, Lord, I want to put that away. I want to get rid of that thing that holds me back. I want to do things for you, Lord. I want to do things your way. I want to be a part of your wondrous kingdom that is growing and going, and to serve God in a joyful way, to just take hold of what every promise in the book, and claim that every promise in the book is mine. And I will change. I will do things better. I will look to you, Lord, for all that you have upon my life. So this day, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Lord, that you want to bring change in each one of us, Lord. Lord, you'll continue to pour out your Spirit upon us, Father God. Lord, you'll have your way in our lives. As we look to you, Father, we just know, Lord, by the promise of your word, Father, Lord, that your assurance that your grace is sufficient for me, that your grace is sufficient for you, church. And God, as you allow God to work in your life, and you work through the things that God's going to do you for you, as he opens up the way, as he shows you the path for you to walk along, and as you look to him, you will be continually blessed, and you will be revived and rejoicing, and you will stand and say, yes, this is a day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Amen.